Stung, Cannabis, Conspiracies, and Cashing Out by Brian K. Hogan. Introduction. There are casualties in any war. The war on drugs is no different. I was a recent college grad and goody-two-shoes from Connecticut when I enlisted, embarking on a wild, eye-opening tour of duty in the California medical marijuana industry. I was stationed on the front lines for 7 years. This isn't just my story. It's also a story about my commanding officer, General Mary Jane herself. We're smarter than them, right? I barely heard my buddy Georgie's question as his third-floor West Hollywood bachelor pad came back into focus. Georgie was a waiter slash actor slash director when we met, like almost everybody who moved to Los Angeles. He was a 5'10" Italian stallion with olive skin, green eyes, rare integrity, and an adventurous spirit. We'd only known each other for about a year at this point, but this straight boy in a sea of homos would eventually become like a brother to me. Smarter than who? The question sputtered from my lips like a car almost out of gas. I swallowed the rest of my Captain and Coke and passed the joint back to Georgie. He had rolled us a fatty out of some of the strongest California cannabis I'd ever had. Georgie always had the best weed. I'd been smoking pot on the daily for nearly a decade by then, but at that moment, I can honestly say I was the highest I had ever been. Damn, this is powerful shit. What the fuck were we just talking about? Dude, I said we're smarter than all these fuckers running pot shops, making millions of dollars, aren't we? He was adamant. Hell yeah, we were, I thought. I'd been dealing the stuff on and off for years. This was a no-brainer. Hell yeah, we are, I said, feeling pumped up now. So let's do that, he continued. My hair stood on end. I wasn't sure if it was because of the weed, or because I loved the idea of making millions of dollars, or because something very profound was about to happen. Do what? I already knew what he was going to say, but I listened with rapt attention. Let's open a dispensary instead of bartending while we pursue our Hollywood careers. The words dropped matter-of-factly from his mouth. It was one of those moments where the truth in his statement was so obvious and indisputable that we both wondered why we hadn't thought of it before. We hated bartending, and we loved weed. That moment was destiny, and his crazy new idea would be our destiny fulfilled. I could feel it. Or else we might just have been bananas high, but we agreed right then to open a dispensary and trade in bartending for budtending while we pursued our Hollywood dreams. So began my career as a California cannabis healer and a federal outlaw, early one lazy summer afternoon on a balcony in West Hollywood. About 9 months and 90,000 hiccups later, Greenlight Guys was born, our very own online compassionate care mobile delivery service. A corner had been turned. Thanks to Georgie's vision and our hard work, I was a business owner, nay, an entrepreneur. I was successful. I slung cannabis with the full blessing and support of the California state government. I registered, got us a business license and a seller's permit. We paid taxes. I was doing the same shit I did in college, but this time it was official. It was legal. I was safe. This was fucking awesome. I would soon find myself getting arrested once, robbed at gunpoint twice, hiring and then firing a heroin addict, inspiring a hit HBO series about a weed delivery guy based loosely on my shop, fighting a hostile takeover, and wearing a wire in a sting operation for the DEA. I also came face to face with myself, my fears, my limits, my shortcomings, and the rotting emotional corpse of a deadbeat dad. I grew up as a Christmas and Easter Catholic, so I'd heard of God, but never met him. As I searched for meaning, I discovered evangelical Christianity in high school and served as a missionary in Africa for half a decade after graduation. I was born again. Then I went to college in my mid-20s, where I quickly died again. I was introduced to Mary Jane and came out of the closet. I rediscovered that happiness is found in the pursuit of one's inescapable dreams, and I became more stoned than I even thought possible, for over a decade straight. The war on drugs wages on many fronts. General Mary Jane also has a pretty wild backstory. For starters, she's a whole slew of millennia old, first referenced in early China as both a powerful medicine and a recreational drug. She was used as medicine throughout the ages, in Egypt, India, ancient Greece, and Rome. She was the original Big Pharma, but she was free and abundant. History bears this out. Pot is mentioned in the Bible, in Exodus, saying a cannabis oil was poured over folks to anoint them. The holiest of the holy have been getting high since before the crucifixion. Jesus used this same pot elixir to anoint his disciples and told them to go out into the villages and do the same. He knew if folks got high together, they'd be much more likely to show compassion and gain spiritual insight. Maybe we should be following his example after all. In ancient Chinese texts, marijuana is cited as medicine for over 100 ailments, including, of all things, absent-mindedness. It started appearing in medical textbooks in the 1600s. George Washington grew hemp on his Mount Vernon plantation for over 30 years. If the first ever leader of the free world can spend an entire lifetime getting high, I'm pretty sure we're going to be fine too. History also tells us that Thomas Jefferson used marijuana. So did Napoleon. Even Queen Victoria used it, allegedly only for menstrual cramps, though. The rulers of the planet were all a bunch of stoners, heads of state in a state of intoxication. And yet humanity is fine, still here. The Declaration of Independence was written on hemp paper. That's why it's lasted until today. It also makes more sense to manufacture paper from a plant that only takes 3 months to grow and can be regrown with ease, rather than using trees, which take decades to be ready for harvest and are practically irreplaceable. In the mid-19th century, marijuana became mainstream medicine. It was officially added to the U.S. pharmacopoeia and became a staple of every doctor's medicine bag. People were healthy and high, with the government's blessing. Even still, society seemed to be doing just fine. During World War I, the U.S. government grew over 50,000 pounds of cannabis a year. The stalk itself is one of the hardest and most durable plant fibers as yet known to man. It was used on ships for rope and sails during the war because of its strength. Right after the Great Depression, the first medical marijuana dispensaries came into being, but they weren't called that. Cannabis extract was being sold in pharmacies. Only in 1937 did humanity really start freaking out about pot. This was no accident. It was a corporate-designed and government-sponsored propaganda campaign led by one Harry Anslinger. The people were told that weed could make you violent, that black men and Mexicans get high and lose their minds only to end up beating and raping women. Anyone who has ever tried pot can verify that is utter horseshit. If anything, marijuana makes humans more docile, friendly, and laid back. I don't hear stories of men smoking too much weed and going home to beat their wives. It's the drink that does that. You know, the intoxicator that's legal. Marijuana has been sidelined from our cultural zeitgeist for over 80 years, due to the Marijuana Tax Act. But strictly speaking, it wasn't made illegal. The government didn't prohibit pot. It was too soon after the obvious failure of alcohol prohibition to attempt that. Nobody was going to go for that again, and the captains of industry knew this. But marijuana was a threat to too many industries of the day. It had to be stopped. Marijuana was known to be a powerful medicine, which was a threat to the emerging pharmaceutical industry. Marijuana is a fancy word for hemp. Hemp was used to make paper, construction materials, clothes, and more. The newly invented material, plastic, would have been bankrupt before it even got started, had hemp been allowed to remain a viable contender. A machine had just been invented to allow for mass production of hemp, something that was previously impossible due to its strength and robustness. DuPont, the inventor of plastic, wasn't going to let that fly. Even though plastic is toxic and hemp is safe, plastic somehow ended up everywhere, while hemp is still barely legal. Do the math. Enough corrupt and common interests aligned to make certain marijuana wasn't allowed to blossom into the miracle plant that could single-handedly solve many of the world's problems. Problems are profitable. Peace and prosperity aren't. The Marijuana Tax Act was conceived and passed in 1937. This new law didn't prohibit pot. It just taxed the shit out of the farmers growing it, so it simply wasn't worth growing anymore. A subtle and invisible de facto prohibition began, under the guise of heavy taxes. Despite their own trumped-up hemp taxes, the government subsidized farmers to grow the stuff during World War II. They needed that durable fiber for their fleets again. When the chips are down, hemp is safe, I guess. Fucking ridiculous. In 1964, THC was discovered and isolated in the lab. In 1968, to capitalize on this discovery, the federal government started a secret grow operation in Mississippi. I can't have a few seedlings under a light in my bedroom closet without the risk of losing my freedom, but the feds get to have a whole secret farm. I see how it is. Only in 1971 did marijuana actually become full-on illegal. We have Richard Nixon to thank for that. The incompetent crook put marijuana on Schedule 1, declaring it had no medical value. It has remained there ever since. Then Nixon dealt marijuana's fatal blow in an open press conference. Milking the people for all the fear he could, he declared a war on drugs. Wars are scary, we've got to do something, was the predictable outcry from a successfully fear-mongered populace. 2 years later, the DEA was created. Thankfully, 3 years after that, Amsterdam happened. The people of the Netherlands started coming to their senses first, and tourism boomed. In the 80s, Big Pharma invented Marinol, or as I like to call it, fake pot in a pill. And surprise, surprise, the bought and paid for FDA approved it. It has some pretty hefty side effects and doesn't work that well, according to the majority of patient reports. Pot, on the other hand, is non-lethal and boasts being in a great mood and craving snacks as the only side effects. In the 90s, scientists discovered we have cannabinoid receptors in our brains. We have a part of our brain that is only activated by cannabis, called the endocannabinoid system. Cannabis and humanity, quite literally, were made for each other. Like the folks in Amsterdam, more and more people started coming to their senses. In 1993, the American Medical Association unanimously agreed that marijuana should be reclassified off of Schedule 1, citing obvious medical value. The doctors are saying it's medicine again. What more proof do society need? In 1996, California became the first state to legalize medical marijuana. Since then, the majority of the states have followed suit. Still, nonviolent offenders waste away in jail. Promising students have their futures ruined over simple possession of a plant. Prisons are overcrowded with people who mean us no harm. People we'd normally be friends with. The people who bring the weed to the dinner party. The war on drugs still wages. The casualties keep piling up. In 2003, I started selling dimes in college to make rent money and smoke for free. I met good people, peaceful people from all walks of life. I kept slinging in Los Angeles in my early days to make ends meet. My clients were the salt of the earth, not a violent son of a bitch in the entire lot. I owned and operated a legal cannabis dispensary for 5 years. I saw the California medical marijuana industry up close and personal. Cancer patients thanked me for what I did. Parents of epileptic children thanked me. My eyes were being opened. I saw the truth. It's not just that cannabis isn't a bad thing. It's that it's a really great thing. Meanwhile, cancer sufferers still die, epileptics still seize, and chemo patients still can't eat or smile. Humanity has the cure for all of that and more, but there's no money in it. So the war on drugs still rages, and the casualties keep piling up. I was almost one of them.